Good morning, everyone. And it's wicked awesome to be here because for some reason, those of you who are not in this country know that we write our dates backwards. So the month, instead of coming first, is coming second. So for some reason, I actually thought that this conference was going to be next Monday. And on Friday, I discovered it was today. So you're really lucky, and I'm really lucky to be here today because I could have showed up next Monday. So I'm going to start off by talking about the effect of physical inactivity on the major non-communicable diseases worldwide. And so why are we talking about major non-communicable diseases? I'm actually going to step aside here because I'm really short and I can't see you above the screen. So when we think about non-communicable diseases, the major non-communicable diseases worldwide are diseases like cardiovascular disease, cancer, type 2 diabetes, and respiratory diseases. In the past, we used to think of these diseases as diseases that affected high-income countries. But increasingly, this is less so. That is also becoming a problem of middle and low-income countries. In fact, in 2011, the United Nations held a high-level meeting of heads of nations to emphasize the importance of these diseases and to say that they were becoming a threat not only to public health but also to the economy globally. And why is this so? For two reasons. First, as the low and middle income countries become increasingly more wealthy, they are adopting lifestyle practices, the environment is becoming more like the high income countries, and so their diseases also change. But secondly, it's important to recognize that the populations of the low and middle income countries is far higher than that of the high income countries. So even though these major non-communicable diseases might not be the top causes of death, they still contribute a large number of deaths. So I'm going to show you this pictorially. You're not going to be able to see any of the details, so don't worry about that. Just look at the color scheme. So we have on the left high-income countries, in the middle-income countries, and on the right the low-income countries. The darker blue and lighter blue bars are the deaths, number of deaths from non-communicable diseases, and the yellow bars are those from infectious diseases. So you can see in terms of number of deaths that there's this huge peak here, and that's South Asia primarily reflecting India. So for example, if we look at high income North America, so this reflects the US and Canada, you can see that of the total deaths, the blue represents a high proportion of it. But if you look at South Asia, of the total deaths, the blue does not represent a high proportion of total deaths, but the number in the blues is far higher than what you see in North America. So in fact, 80% of deaths from non-communicable diseases in the world come not from the Western countries, but from the middle and low-income countries, which is why it is so important. The good news is that there are many things that we can do about it, and one of the things we can do is be physically active. We have more than half a century's worth of data clearly showing that if you are physically active, you have lower rates of many of the non-communicable diseases, the risk factors for these diseases, you improve your fitness, your body composition, you function better mentally and physically. So if this is a good thing, how much of the world is doing that? In 2012, The Lancet published a series on physical activity and its, or rather, lack of physical activity and its consequences worldwide. And this represents a paper led by Pedro Halal from the Federal University of Pelotas, looking at the prevalence of people who do sufficient physical activity to meet recommendations, or the converse, those who do not do enough to meet physical activity recommendations. And these are all self-reported. So the white shows lack of data, and the others show increasingly higher prevalence of physical inactivity, with the darker reddish colors showing a high prevalence. So worldwide, about one-third of the population does not meet our physical activity recommendations. So this is a concern. How much of a burden is this? So what I wanted to do in our presentation today is to talk about what the public health impact of this lack of physical activity is throughout the world. Or put it another way, if we could totally eliminate physical inactivity, how much of these diseases could we remove worldwide, and how much longer will people live? So in order to do that, We use a measure that epidemiologists call the population attributable fraction. Don't worry about what the formula is. I will walk you through that. It depends, and it makes sense intuitively, right? The population attributable fraction, or how much of the disease attributable to the risk factor, is due to two things. How much of the risk factor is present worldwide, and how strong a risk factor it is. And the second thing we needed to do to calculate gain in life if we removed inactivity is to look at life tables. So let's look at the population attributable fraction. As I said, it is simply a measure that epidemiologists use to reflect the proportion of the disease that is attributable to the risk factor, in our case, physical inactivity. Meaning, if we could completely get rid of physical inactivity, this is how much disease you could remove from the population. And there's a common formula that exists. The problem with this formula is that it assumes that risk factors are independent. It assumes that there's no clustering of healthy or unhealthy habits. So we know, of course, this isn't true. If you're inactive, you're probably more likely to smoke, more likely to consume a worse diet. So this formula actually is not really valid. It overestimates the problem if health habits, bad habits cluster, good habits cluster. But there is another formula that you can use that is valid, and what it does is it removes or takes into account the fact that people who are inactive are more likely to smoke, more likely to eat an unhealthy diet, more likely to be overweight. Some of the parameters that go into this formula are not easy to figure out, and so many people don't use it, but in our analysis that we published for The Lancet, we did take that into account. So how did we estimate gain in life expectancy? The WHO has for each country life tables, and life tables are simply the death rates at each age group, and they're usually five-year age groups except for the lowest age group, which is between 0 and 1, because infant mortality is high. So remember, we said the population attributable fraction is the proportion of disease that could be removed if you completely removed the risk factor. So if we know the mortality rates for each of these age groups, and we know the population attributable fraction, we can reduce the mortality rates in the age groups by the PAF. And what we conservatively did was we only reduced the death rates between ages 40 to 80, not because physical inactivity doesn't increase your risk of dying early in the other age groups, but because most of the literature occurred in these groups, and therefore we're being conservative by just restricting it to those age groups and assuming that the death rates in the other age groups remain the same. So here are main findings. In summary, between 6 to 10% of the major non-communicable diseases, cardiovascular disease, cancer, type 2 diabetes, and premature mortality, is attributable to physical inactivity. So remember, I showed you the two formulas, one that I said assumed there was no correlation of health habits, and the second that took into account the correlation. So this is actually our result. 6 to 10% is the one that takes into account the correlation. If we had calculated it assuming no correlation of health habits, you'd see that the results are much inflated. So for some diseases where perhaps there's not a lot of confounding, like breast and colon cancers, the adjusted and unadjusted are not that different. So the adjusted is 10%, it goes up to 11 or 12%. But for something like type 2 diabetes, we took into account the fact that people who are physically active are also more likely to be lean. Now, you can argue with that. Some people would say you shouldn't take into account leanness, because after all, physical activity exerts some of its health habits by making people leaner. But we were being conservative, so we adjusted away the fact that if you're active, you're more likely to weigh a healthy weight. And you can see that our estimation of type 2 diabetes attributable to inactivity was 7%. If we had not taken that into account, it's 18%. So we're actually being very conservative in our estimates. And if we apply the PAF to deaths worldwide, we estimated that more than 5 million deaths a year could be removed if everyone who was inactive in the world became active at least up to the level that was recommended by current guidelines. And here you can see the distribution by low or high income countries, and you can see most of the benefits come from the lower middle income countries simply because the population in those countries is larger. Now, of course, it's impossible to completely make everyone who is inactive become active. But let's just say we were successful 25% of the time. If we were successful 25% of the time, we would remove 1 million deaths, more than 1 million deaths worldwide. And let's just say we were successful only 10% of the time. Even at that level, we would reduce global deaths by 500,000. Now, what about gain in life expectancy? If everyone in the world were to become physically active, the population of the world would live on average 0.68 years longer. And again, if you look at it by countries, the lower income countries gain less, the higher income countries gain more. And I want you to keep that in your mind for a second. So these numbers I'm talking about, 5 million deaths, gain of 0.7 years, what does it all mean? How does it compare to other risk factors? So there indeed have been other analyses that have been done similar to this, looking at smoking and looking at obesity. And what these other estimates showed is that smoking is comparable to lack of physical activity. Obesity, you know, because we're doing estimations, I consider that attributable, the amount comparable. So if you look at deaths attributed to the risk factor, again, smoking, obesity, comparable number of deaths. Gain in life expectancy, not many people have done that. And remember, we said that the gain for us was from age 40, and it's about 0.7 years. And this is looking at data throughout the world. It was actually 122 countries. For some other analysis, they have looked only at high-income countries. It shows a gain of 1 to 2 years by removing smoking. And remember, in the previous slide, I showed you that the higher-income countries gain more, the lower-income countries gain less. So this number might be a little bit higher than what we have because it reflects high-income countries. And obesity, I could only find a single analysis that came from the U.S. that shows a gain of 0.7 to 1 year. So what are the strengths of our analysis? What we tried to do in this paper was to show in very simple metrics the importance of physical inactivity in causing disease and death throughout the world in comparing it with other major risk factors, and also to show how much gain in life years could occur. Now, what are some of the limitations? Of course, we had to use self-reported physical activity and inactivity. What does that mean? We know that if we put monitors on people, the level of inactivity is actually higher than what people report. So in that sense, our estimates of the attributable fraction due to the inactivity would actually be higher if we use objective measures of physical activity. For the relative risk that we use, most of these studies came from North America and Europe, but there are a couple of studies that have come out of China and of India and that show similar, if not stronger, effects of inactivity on these diseases. Remember, I talked about type 2 diabetes and I said we adjusted away the effect of obesity. Some people may argue that you shouldn't adjust away the effects of obesity because activity works through obesity. So we're actually conservative in our estimates. We also looked at two levels of activity. We said active versus inactive. But we know that as levels of physical activity go up, the risk of these diseases continue to decline. So if we had considered the spectrum of physical activity, we might have seen stronger effects of inactivity on these diseases. And finally, when I calculated gain in life years, remember we only applied the population attributable fraction to ages 40 to 80 because we wanted to reflect only the age groups for which most data existed. In fact, all of these limitations would result in our estimates being lower than if the converse were true. So the conclusions I have is that physical inactivity is a major adverse effect on non-communicable diseases worldwide. If we look at how strong it is, it's actually comparable to other risk factors such as smoking and obesity. If we were to get rid of inactivity or at least decrease it worldwide, we would improve the health of the world quite a bit. And while I've been talking on a global level, the next speakers after me will talk about local solutions to the problem of physical inactivity that we have. And finally, I'd like to acknowledge a large group of individuals who worked on this paper as well as the rest of the Lancet series. They comprise 33 researchers that come from 16 countries throughout the world. Thank you for your attention.
give you standing applause and all physical activity sections. Thank you for remembering.